Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Watermelon Test Radio. Today on a Friday, Feast of All Souls. Everybody in Watermelon Test found out early this morning the passing of the mother of the president of Watermelon Test, Doris Bagnolo. She's been very ill for a very long time. Last few times I've seen her when the president and I were doing live chats on Skype. And she would be walking around, you know. She would come by and say hi and everything. Well, gonna miss that. My mom even told me, don't be sad for her. She was suffering really bad. Now she's with Jesus. Yeah. She passed away about the brother Alexis's mom passed away about 4:34. A.M. Eastern U.S. time. If you're following them on the Order Militaris Inc. Twitter thing, on the LinkedIn pages, you'll read how she died. So I thought before we dive into more jihadi talk, as is our job, I even invited him to come on, say a few words or anything, just in case you need to be able to say some stuff and clear his head. But he's not here yet, so if he comes on, I'll let you know. So let's pray for the soul of Doris Bagnolo. Nomine Patri, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Eternal rest grant to them, O Lord, and let the perpetual light shine upon them. And may they rest in peace. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. In nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Yesterday, the Gatestone Institute came out with another report, and they're still going after the European Commission's Court of Human Rights. I'm glad they are. bullet points are: it is important to emphasize that radical Islam uses means other than terrorism to gain ground. This week, the unelected judges of the European Court of Human Rights submitted to the demands of Sharia blasphemy laws and decided not to allow criticism of Muhammad, lest Muslim feelings be hurt. The court actually chose hurt feelings over freedom of expression and truth as a defense. And the last bullet point from A.N. Hirsi Ali: as someone who has known what it is to live without freedom, I watch in amazement as those who call themselves liberal and progressive, people who claim to believe so fervently in individual liberty and minority rights, make common cause with the forces in the world that manifestly pose the greatest threats to that very freedom and those very minorities. We need to say to Muslims living in the West, if you want to live in our societies, to share in their maternal benefits, then you need to accept that our freedoms are not optional. Bravo. Bravo. I'll grab some water here. Excuse me a bit, I'm gonna blow my nose. Bravo, A.N. Hirsi Ali. Bravo. Alright. Let's begin this report. When the Barcelona terror attack took place August 17, 2017, as horrible as it was, 13 deaths, 130 people injured, the jihadis did not consider it a success. They had more lethal project. They wanted to drive vans packed with explosives into the Sagrada Familia Basilica and two other terrorist areas into the city. That, however, was the last major jihadi attack in a Western country. The Manchester attack had taken place 2 months earlier, on May 22nd, 2017. The attack in Nice, France, had taken place July 14th, 2016, and then in Orlando attack in Florida on June 12th, 2016. The destruction of the Islamic State under President Donald J. Trump has not only deprived jihadis of what had been a rear base and training camp, it also deprived them of the idea that they could quickly defeat the West. Soon awareness of the danger embodied by radical Islam faded in the United States and was largely erased in Europe. Knife attacks and slaughter of passersby in France or Britain were not treated by mainstream media as more important than road accidents. Jihadi murderers were usually immediately defined by the authorities as mentally disturbed. In Europe, names of murderers were often hidden to avoid possibly firing up anti-Muslim prejudice. What happens in other parts of the world rarely make headlines and is usually treated as a local problem of no global importance. Stabbing Israelis, launching rockets, incendiary kites and balloons from Gaza into Israel are looked on as strictly part of the Middle East conflict. Attacks on Coptic Christians in Egypt are defined as an Egyptian problem. More than 1,800 Christians massacred in Nigeria are barely mentioned in the news. The death sentence for blasphemy in countries such as Pakistan are not mentioned at all. Radical Islam may be on the defensive, but its offensive has not been stopped. The main Islamic organizations appear to be waiting for the moment to strike again. Al-Qaeda was recently described in a January 2018 UN report as strong, influential, and resilient. The Islamic State may have lost territories it once ruled in Syria and Iraq, but according to the UN reports, the group continues to transform into a terror organization with a flat hierarchy, with cells, affiliates increasingly acting autonomously. Groups of Islamic jihadists are still active in Libya, where they control people, smuggling activities, infiltrate their operatives among the migrants trying to cross the Mediterranean to Europe. The police keep seizing components used to make explosive devices. Now foiled attacks on European soil. But the instructional videos still circulate. 2 days ago, in Paris, in Lyon, a jihadi freely roaming around in his buddy's car put up such a video saying he wanted Halloween to be the night of the purge. Based off those purge videos, movies, TV shows, Brother Alexis Bonillo told you about a few days ago on this very network, what the Democratic Socialists of America want to do to the United States if they get in power. And in Paris, in Lyon, they firebombed, attacked the police. 15,000 extra police force had to be called out to stop these jihadis, and 100 of them were taken in. What about the guy sitting in the back seat of his buddy's car making that video? He needs to be put in chains. He needs to be held accountable. The death sentence needs to be brought back to Europe, where you threaten to overthrow a country, where you threaten to harm and to kill police officers, military. As we continue reading, you'll see who's helping these jihadists grow in power. Let's continue. Groups of Islamic jihadists are still active in Libya, where they control people smuggling activities and infiltrate their operatives among migrants trying to cross the Mediterranean to Europe. The police keep seizing components used to make explosive devices and have foiled attempted attacks on European soil. But as I repeat, instructional videos still circulate. What is important to emphasize is that radical Islamists use means other than terrorism to gain ground. The Muslim Brotherhood, the main Sunni Islamist organization, has never rejected violence, but says it prefers Dawah. Proselytizing, infiltration, and influence to attain power in the Muslim world and beyond. Sayyid Qutb. Its leaders in the 1950s said that the aim of the Muslim Brotherhood was to establish Islamic rule wherever it was possible, by any means available. Its members may have thought they're achieving their objective during the uprising journalists called the Arab Spring. Unfortunately for them, the former Egyptian president Mohamed Morsi's attempt to make Egypt an Islamic totalitarian state and the economic collapse that resulted led to a takeover of the government by Egypt's current president, Abdel Fattah al-Sisi. And to the crackdown that eradicated the organization there. The Muslim Brotherhood, however, has not vanished. It still has support of Turkey, Qatar. Hamas was founded as a Palestinian branch of the Muslim Brotherhood. So the two branches of the Muslim Brotherhood, Hamas, and the main branch itself, the Muslim Brotherhood, are active in the United States. They have offices in the United States. And we covered the Broward County school shooting. We learned about the sheriff there allowing the Muslim Brotherhood, the Hamas leaders, to use the sheriff office as a meeting hall. And there's also another branch to Hamas in the Muslim Brotherhood. CAIR, C-A-I-R, also active in the United States. So how come these three groups are not shut down, banned, every member of the organization arrested and sent to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba? How come this hasn't happened yet? Is it because some anti-Trump Republicans, Democrats, get their funding from these organizations and have a reach in their political campaigns? You better believe it. That is why they aren't shut down. And that is why they aren't all put into Gitmo, where they belong. Even in London and other parts of England, they have Hamas parades in the entire year that the Hamas terrorists wear when they do their battle stuff. And they wave the Hamas flag. It is supported by the Liberal Party. The Labour Party, excuse me. And one of their high-ranking members, Jeremy Corbyn, who also, I believe, was a member or supported the Ireland terrorist organization. How can he be a member of Parliament and all those other members of the Labour Party who support Hamas terrorism? Reports show that members of the Muslim Brotherhood can rely on a network of affiliates in over 70 countries to keep up their hope of winning throughout the Muslim world. But their main target seems to be to transform the West. Leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood appear to think that if the West falls, the rest of the world will follow thereafter. In the U.S., the Mother Brotherhood has unofficial branches that try to hide what they actually are, that are extremely active. These include the Council for American Islamic Relations, CAR, the Islamic Society of North America, ISNA, ISNA, The Muslim Brotherhood is deeply implanted in Western Europe, where it controls many organizations and charities that also do their best to hide what they are. These include the Islamic Community of Germany, the Muslim Association of Britain, the Muslims of France. The Muslim Brotherhood has, in addition, created vast networks of mosques, schools that recruit, indoctrinate, and claim that the future of Western Europe will belong to Islam and Europeans will continue to submit. Oh, how the times have changed. Oh, how the times have changed. If Europeans were still have the fire in their belly, the love of their Catholic faith in their hearts, they would be like Charles Martel, Charlemagne, Jan Sobieski III, driving out these Islamic terrorist invaders, showing them who controls the West. Sure, it may be the Western countries, but their true leader is Christ the King. Now we get to the story about the Human Rights Court. This week, the elected judges of the European Court of Human Rights submitted to the demands of Sharia blasphemy laws and decided not to allow criticism of Muhammad, lest Muslim feelings be hurt. The court actually chose hurt feelings over freedom of expression and truth as a defense. It is probably time to unelect those unelected judges. You don't know what that means, folks. I'm going to put it bluntly. It is time to do away with that fake court. It's time to do away where unelected politicians causes harm and grief.
It is time to do away with the European Union. Under whose watch Europeans and tourists from other parts of the world have suffered, have been injured, maimed, and killed by these Islamic terrorist invaders. Get some water here, folks. Let's see here. Islamist organizations are present and growing. Often they join forces to advance intimidation campaigns that push governments, mainstream media, and universities to ban all criticism of Islam and to enforce a growing Islamization of everyday life. Examples include efforts to change academic programs to present Muslim salvation in a more attractive light. Excuse me. Meaning they want to get rid of your identity, your heritage, your history, how you of Europe, as Catholics, united and stand together and took on these Islamic invaders' own ancestors when they tried to invade Europe over and over again. At Lepanto, twice at the Battle of Tours. At the Siege of Vienna. Numerous times they targeted Poland. So much so that the Polish coffers for the military and the government were empty. So that the great general would later become king, whose task it was to defend Poland. He had to use his own money to raise barely 20,000 troops to face an enemy invasion force of 400,000 Ottoman Turks, Tartars, and Cossacks. He split up the troops so they could harass and mess with the supply lines of the invasion force, while the other half took them head on. Each and every soldier knew their job, knew in their heart that if they lost, and if they did not fight ferociously, Poland was lost. These guys fought so ferociously. All 20,000 of them. They only lost 400 troops compared probably to the thousands Islamic force. They fought him so ferociously that the Islamic force was afraid, full of fear. What the Polish Catholic army put into the hearts of the enemy. That is what modern Europe, who is helping Islamists gain power, want to erase from your school books, from your children's schools. Do not let this happen. Excuse me. Now on to the hospitals. Efforts to have hospitals accept that Muslim women may be examined only by female doctors, and that social service agencies must respect polygamy. Many organizations rely for support on fellow travelers, mainly Westerners who hate Western civilization and may see the rise of Islam as a means of destabilizing it. They want and get results. So who are these Westerners who hate Western civilization, which was pretty much Catholic civilization? All the liberal leaders of the European Union. All their globalist friends around the world and here in the United States. We have an election coming up in 4 days. And we have, you know, Democrats have become socialist Democrats. And everything socialism is on the ticket for the Democrats. And we have to get out and vote for all things Republican. To keep the globalists out of power. He goes on. Western European politicians, left and right, increasingly rely on the Muslim vote to get elected. They see that the birth rates now well below replacement levels. Tory flows create a population change. They calculate that being too hostile to Islam could lead to their political defeat. Although the Swiss Islamist author Tariq Ramadan remains jailed in France over rape accusations, his books are still move up bestseller lists. Islamic bookstores are becoming more and more numerous. They sell anti-Semitic and anti-Western books that incite violence. So all these governments who are allowing such books to be sold are causing harm to their people, to their country. all these books that are anti-Semitic, anti-Western books that incite violence should not be sold. There should be massive outrage about these books. Massive protests seeking to ban these books for what they do. Gotta cut off the messenger that is growing Islam inside Europe. Gotta stop the messages from getting in. Once the message stops, you can replace it with a true message. Pro-Western values. Pro-West. Pro-Europe. No-go zones continue to proliferate in France, Britain, and now in Germany. In his book, No-Go Zones, Rahim Kazam shows that female genital mutilation, sexual assaults, sometimes honor killings, take place in these areas. You want to stop this nonsense? You have to go into these no-go zones. If you have a leader who has a backbone of iron, not of jello, not with the police. Because the police need reform, become police once again, but send in the military to liberate these parts of Germany, Britain, France, and elsewhere. That's right. These parts of these countries need to be liberated. Sovereignty, the rights of citizens over invaders must be restored. Law and order must be restored. Borders closed and secure must be done. A few politicians, and God bless them. Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban, Italy's Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Interior Matteo Salvini, Austrian Chancellor Sebastian Kurz, are trying to defend European civilization. They are dragged in the mud by Merkel, May, Macron, and other Western European leaders. The chance of Orban, Kurz, and Salvini to win the fight in the short term is limited by the rapid aging of the country's population. Since this was done yesterday, this report, news out of these actual countries, they are promoting the growth of the family. They are promoting that the families of Hungary, Italy, the actual citizens, to have big families. If they have a lot of children, they reward these families. Italy is offering farmland to the people, to the families who will decide to have large families. Austria and Hungary and a few other countries that are united with Orban and Salvini are making sure the families get a little extra cash to help pay for having a big family. Authors criticizing Islam are still allowed to write in Western Europe, but with some exceptions, such as Eric Zemmour in France and Theodore Sarrazin in Germany, they are now almost totally ignored by the mainstream media. All of them are harassed by Islamists, and sometimes by prosecutions. Anyone who has left Islam risks being killed. Some have chosen to escape to a safer part of the world. Ayan Hinzi Ali left the Netherlands in 2006 and is now an American citizen. Others who stayed in Western Europe have to live under police protection. Hamal Abdel Samad, a former member of the Muslim Brotherhood, who now lives in Germany, is the author of Islamic Fascism. Abdel Samad says that what Western European leaders refuse to see, Islam is a religion of war. They even refuse to see this in America, in most mainstream news outlets. Most of those are at Fox News, who are now preaching the liberal garbage. That is why I've switched to the true conservative news network, One America News. It is different, but it is better. He continues in a recent interview, he added that when a non-Muslim country is strong, Islam can end up agreeing to coexist. But when a non-Muslim country is passive, war comes back on the horizon. This war, he added, can be violent. It can be non-violent. Western European countries show all the signs of being passive. That they do. That they do. Wow. Almost an hour left. Glad I checked it. Live stream. So yeah, before I continue, we got two reports today to cover. So if the live stream portion of this ends, everything that I'm still talking about will continue after the live stream ends, but you'll have to listen to the rest whenever the podcast is uploaded. So, yeah. Even though it may end on your end, we are still recording here, so whenever I get done, it'll still be recorded. So don't worry. Now back to our first report. The United States is stronger. Will it remain a safe haven for ex-Muslims and freedom of speech? Islamists are at work. Summon mosques and incite violence. They find support. They imitate, intimidate institutions. In April 2018, Mzuduri Yazur, a practicing physician and founder and president of the American Islamic Forum for Democracy, which advocates the separation of religion and state, was invited to speak at Duke University. Under pressure from Islamist students, the invitation was canceled. It was then reinstated. Hold on, I'm going to cough here. Excuse me, but still fighting the cold, so please pray for me. In 2014, when Brandeis University wanted to honor A.N. Hirsi Ali, an author who abandoned Islam, Islamic organizations and progressives demanded that Brandeis to revoke the invitation. She was disinvited, and the invitation not extended again. Hirsi Ali said, "As someone who has known what it is to live that freedom, I watch in amazement as those who call themselves liberal and progressive people, who claim to believe so firmly in individual liberty and minority rights, make common cause with the forces in the world that manifestly pose the greatest threats to that very freedom and those very minorities. We need to say to the Muslims living in the West, if you want to live in our societies, to share in the material benefits, then you need to accept that our freedoms are not optional." Bravo, bravo. And that is the end of the first report. Give some time for you to think about it. Blow my nose a bit. That's true what she says. It is kind of strange and odd that a party called the Democratic Party, which should focus on democracy, supports socialism, Stalinism, Maoism, and radical Islamism. They have a member of the Jihad people, Karen, so forth, Linda Sarsour, a radical female jihadi who continually threatens jihad. Even continues to threaten our president. Yet the Democrats are the crazy Dems, so welcome her with open arms. And they accept her to help fundraise and campaign for the Democratic people running for office. That is so strange. Well, this is the end of the first report. And before we get to the second one, yesterday I was jumping up down cheering for one of my ancestral countries where part of my family comes from on my mom's side. Croatia. Boy, they are doing good. Croatia will not sign the UN Migration Pact and joins the US, Hungary, and Austria. And also the Czech Republic is working on joining that as well. Working on not joining that as well and joining the US, Hungary, Austria, and Croatia. I say all of the countries coming to join the United States, Hungary, and Austria, and the Czech Republic, I think there should be some sort of pact between us. Seems right. Anyway, I want to congratulate Croatia for becoming, doing awesome things, protecting their heritage and the people, and also for listening to our programs. Just amazing. So, if the Croatian president, Kolinda Grabar-Kitarović, is listening, congratulations and thank you. Alright. Now to the pièce de résistance. Kind of funny. What about Britain? I spoke French. Alright. This is today's report. Titled, UK Terror Investigations, Inconvenience. Yep. Bullet points. If you did not even dare to link terrorism to its source, then surely neither can you prepare for it. Second bullet point. No one seems to be holding roundtable talks with non-Muslim communities across the UK to address their good time for a blooper reel. My apologies. Legitimate fears. I can read that with my eyes closed. Better than I can with my eyes open. And concerns about religiously motivated terrorism on their lives. Perhaps the main reason that terror victims had nowhere to turn is that even after years of living with Islamic terrorism, British authorities and public services still appear to be more concerned with dealing with perceived Islamophobia than with the real devastating consequences of terrorism. Britain's independent reviewer of terrorism legislation, Max Hill, recently recommended the police should consider and reflect upon the community impact of a large-scale terror investigation, centering as it did on particular areas of Manchester with a large Muslim population. Good community policing as well as good counterterrorism policing demands that real efforts are made to work within and with local communities, where many blameless residents will have been inconvenienced, if not traumatized, by the regular appearance of police search and arrest teams on their streets or in their home. I'd like to see the outcome of police reflections on this aspect. Hill's recommendation was published in his recent report on how UK handles its counterterrorism efforts. In the report, Hill examines police investigations with the major 2017 terrorist attacks. His recommendation was connected to the investigation into the terrorist attack in Manchester in May 2017, in which Salem Abdi murdered 22 people and injured 139 people, half of them children, at an Ariana Grande pop concert at the Manchester Arena. The police, in other words, should consider making it a priority to work in a way so that their investigations of murder and maiming of all these people will not inconvenience the community in which the suicide bomber lived. Yeah, right. Aha. Okay then. Hill based his recommendation on the talks he had previously had with various Muslim organizations across the UK about the impact of counter-terror legislation on our lives in the aftermath of terrorist attacks in London and Manchester in 2017. With the talks with the Muslim organizations were recorded in the report Community Roundtables, a report on the aftermath of terrorist attacks in London and Manchester, published by Forward Thinking's Building Bridges program. This program, which empowers grassroots communities, facilitates dialogue between UK Muslim communities and grassroots organizations, British authorities, local government, parliamentarians, policymakers, and the national media, which are totally left-leaning and untruthful. The Community Roundtable's report described a meeting with the representatives of the Libyan Muslim community in Manchester, from which Abdi emerged. There's Let's just say the weak, spineless leadership UK has now. Imagine if that was in place instead of Winston Churchill in World War II and the Battle of Britain, where they had these round table talks with the Luftwaffe, Homer Göring, the guy in charge of the Luftwaffe. And Adolf Hitler. Saying, you know, they had the same sort of weak, dumb rhetoric. Actually talking to the people where the suicide bomber came from. If those talks happened back in World War II, to those in charge of blowing up London and all the other cities and air raids on Britain during the Battle of Britain, the British would be speaking German and eating bratwurst and drinking beer. Now, UK is becoming Islamic. Just think about that for a bit. And here's what the report of the meeting had to go with. Throughout the meeting, almost all participants articulated profound sense of anger, frustration at the consequences of extensive police raids within the community, and perceived a lack of support to deal with these consequences, including the fear of being ostracized, targeted by wider society. Individuals, particularly children and teenagers, who have been directly affected were said to have been left traumatized and humiliated, creating a sense of alienation that it was warned could have profoundly damaging consequences for the UK unless urgently addressed. Specific concerns were raised about the potential for a rise in Islamophobic attacks in the current context, and it was hoped that the authorities would take such a threat seriously and offer increased support to communities. Yeah. The people who were attacked, bombed, maimed, will never be the same again. Yeah. They should be fearful that their government and their police aren't doing anything to protect them. They are allowing the wolves, the foxes, into the hen house and making sure the wolves and foxes are protected from hurt feelings. The government and the police of the UK is a joke. It is no laughing, joking manner or matter when their own citizens are fearful and have a right to be afraid that they won't be protected, that the innocent will go to prison for speaking the truth about Islam. Paul Golding got out, but I have not heard a peep about my other Gab follower, Jada Franson. Poor Tommy Robinson, he couldn't eat the prison food, was able to get some stuff brought in that he could pay for. There was a guy in Britain who was so sick and tired of how the Islam is just taking over. And out of a little joke, a little humor, he placed a strip of raw bacon on the door handle of a mosque. Instead of seeing the humor in it as a joke, they threw his butt into prison and he was murdered. There was one incident, I believe it was in the United States, where a man left a beautifully done painting of the crucifix on the door of a mosque as a gift. And he called the police on that man and put his butt in prison. This was in the United States, I believe it was. So yeah, let's continue. No one, however, seems to be holding roundtable talks with the non-Muslim communities across the UK to address the legitimate fears and concerns about religiously motivated terrorism on their lives. You don't hear that. There's none going on. Because if there were, they would be shut down and thrown into prison. Because the judges in the UK are now enforcing Sharia law. According to the National Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Children, a leading UK children's charity. More than 300 counseling sessions were held by the Organization of Children after the terrorist attack at the Manchester Arena. Apparently, four times as many sessions as usual. In addition, the organization received hundreds of calls from children after the Manchester attack. An 11-year-old who called the helpline said, "I constantly feel anxious. I am really worried that they will get someone in my family. I haven't been sleeping because it is all I can think about." Excuse me as I wipe away the tears in my eyes. Another caller, a 14-year-old girl, said, "I'm always on the edge when I leave the house, and I'm always looking over my shoulder." These children do not need to live in fear. But they must, and they do, because they are not protected. I noticed the listeners from the UK and Ireland are down. Is it because the government's censoring this radio program? Tell me on Twitter at Old Militarist Radio. Is your government, are you not able to listen to this radio program anymore because of the truth we share? The number of children and young people seeking help for mental health services also rose after the Manchester attack. According to the Royal College of Psychiatrists, hospitals across the Manchester region saw an estimated 10% increase in children seeking psychological help, which received hundreds more patients from June to July compared with previous months. Dr. Luis Teodosio, a consultant child and adolescent psychiatrist at Royal Manchester Children's Hospital and a member of the RCP, described the increase of as significant. It said the terror attack had a profound impact on the way the children view their city. Just a small fraction of those treated had been at the concert. The majority of the patients had felt increased anxiety after watching the events on the news. Anxiety and insomnia were the most common complaints, with children worrying about going out or being on public transport after the attacks. Excuse me, but people of the UK, wake your butts up. If the current leadership in your government is not helping to protect your country, you, the citizens, do what we are doing here in the United States in 4 days and removing the politicians who won't secure our nation. A similar trend had been seen in London after the terrorist attacks there. In March, an independent review, the purpose of which was to examine the quality of the emergency response to the Manchester bombing, found that many respondents did not know where to turn for support after the attack. Some suffered post-traumatic stress disorder, flashbacks, trauma, anxiety causing them to lose jobs, drop out of the educational system. It is mystifying that the victims of terror had nowhere to turn. It has been more than a decade since the first mass terrorist attack in the UK in 2005 on London's transit system, where 56 people were killed and 700 people wounded. Since then, Britain has only seen the terror threat continue. Perhaps the main reason that terror victims had nowhere to turn is that even after years of living with Islamic terrorism, British authorities and public services still appear to be more concerned with dealing with perceived Islamophobia than with the real devastating consequences of terrorism. If you do not even dare to link terrorism to its source, then surely neither can you prepare for it. You cannot even speak about the gravely detrimental effects that Islamic terrorism has on the well-being of children and others in general society, because Islamic terrorism is officially not even supposed to exist. It is only in such a society where everything has been turned on its head, where the authorities cannot tell who are the victims and who are the people who may feel as if they are victims. If someone asks them some questions, then a terrorist investigation can be considered an inconvenience. As the saying goes about children in a playground, it all started when he hit me back. The person who did this report, Judas Bergman, a columnist, lawyer, political analysis, is a distinguished senior fellow at Gatestone Institute. So yeah. There we have it. Just put the second report in the show page. I'm going to be doing a poll after the show and everything. See if my British UK listeners can hear the show still in the country. Because they need to be able to hear what we are saying. It is for their own good and for the safety of their family the children, and everyone of the country. I just don't know what to say. Now we need more brash leaders like Donald Trump. We need leaders like Viktor Orban, Matteo Salvini. We're not afraid to tell political correctness to hit the door and get out. Way back, before border militaries even started, I did a post how political correctness is deadly. In the second report, with the first, shows how political correctness is deadly when political correctness sides with Islam. The UK needs another Margaret Thatcher. The UK needs another Winston Churchill. What it does not need is another weak, spineless, EU-friendly leader. What it does not need are EU-friendly, Islamic-friendly leaders in the local governments. That is why I say, and will continue to say it, that Tommy Robinson, with the support of all the people, including the army, he needs to run for parliament and win, and then run for prime minister. Unite Britain first and for Britain. And stop everything that is so wrong with the UK. Stop the horrible school systems and restart the school systems where you teach your actual history, where you teach your heritage, why you wear the poppy flower. You teach your history to the founding days of Britain. Yes, that will include Catholic history. And even the dark days when the Anglicans took over and murdered a lot of Catholics, stolen a lot of buildings, destroyed a lot of buildings. But everything about Britain needs to be told, taught once again. So Tommy, run for parliament, and once you win and gather even more support, get your butt out there and run for prime minister and unite both the Britain First and For Britain party to save Britain. once again. Well, this has been Automail Test Radio, signing off. Deus vult.